For our scripture reading, I turn your attention to the second epistle of Peter, and we read the first chapter, 2 Peter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And he received from God the Father our honor, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the mount, in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereby ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. As far God's precious word to us, let's now make confession of our undoubted Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who, for us men, for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. he suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. I believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, children, young people, I think especially when we are young, we always have some times that we think, if only I could see the Lord Jesus, it would be so much easier. Maybe we even have sometimes the idea, well, then I would follow him. And maybe we even think, especially when we are young, then I would not have done what they did to the Lord Jesus. Let, as we reflect on this morning's message as well, we would all have crucified the Lord of glory. We are all sinners. No one is righteous, as we heard this morning. We've all gone astray. We would do the same. We're all lost if we do not listen to God's word. If we do not trust in God's well-beloved Son. Now, Peter shows us this afternoon the preciousness and the value of God's word. Just as we have sung just a moment ago from Psalm 119, where it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light upon my path." And by this Spirit's work, it shines always brightly in our lives. We see the glory of the Word. It exposes. It has exposing power, and it has promising power. Those promises can be driven to our souls. And it shows us who? The living Word, Jesus Christ. That's what we are going to consider tonight from our text, 2 Peter 1, verse 19. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Here we listen to the glory of the word. It's certain glory because it speaks about a more sure word of prophecy. It is shining glory because it says it's a shining light in a dark place. And it's supreme glory. It will be seen by all. It will be seen by all. Day star will arise. It will arise. Certain glory. These words of our text is what it shows, that it is certain glory. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. There's something that is more sure. More sure than what, we ask again. And sure enough, Peter shows what it is. What is more sure? Well, he has just been comparing the word of God in our text with a description of that awesome glory. I didn't even realize that you have heard about that last Sunday night. What that awesome glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. 2 Peter 1 verse 16 and 17 says it. "We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." He's talking here about that moment when he, with John and James, were in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. When during the life of the Lord Jesus, during the life of Peter, the Lord Jesus was glorified, transfigured, changed. And when they were taken for a moment, just a moment, into the glorious presence of Jesus Christ. As it were, the veil was drawn away for a moment. And God Almighty clothed His beautiful Son, Jesus Christ, with the glory that He had from eternity. The glory that He has right now on the throne of heaven. With that glory, the glory for which Christ prayed in the high priestly prayer, they saw something of that. And as Peter saw something, just a little bit of that glory, it dazzled him. It made him long and say, I want to stay here. That glory of Jesus Christ. And now this Peter tells us in his letter, listen for a moment. Yes, I was an eyewitness of that beautiful glory. Yes, I have seen it. Yes, I could never forget it. But you know what? The prophetic word that you and I hold in your hands is even more sure than what we can see with our eyes. What I have seen with my eyes. It's more trustworthy. Those glorious and great and precious promises by which you and I can become partakers. Think about it. Partakers of God's nature. That God's Spirit comes and indwells us. Those promises. Those promises by which He can tell us, as we've heard 2 weeks ago, there's an abundant entrance waiting for you in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior. Those promises, beloved, are more sure than what Peter saw with his eyes there on the mountain. That's what he's saying to us tonight. Because the Lord will not bring us to that mountain as He did Peter. But He will bring us, every one of His children, to the Word. And there you and I can experience the same kind of glory. Glory in our soul. Through these words you can see the glory of Jesus Christ flooding from the passages of Scripture. So that you and I say with Peter, and may it be so tonight, it's good to be here. I want to be here forever. I want to stay here. Let's make some tabernacles and pitch our tent here. And stay here. No, Peter says, realize that everything that the Word teaches us is absolutely trustworthy. It's the prophetic words. That's the Old Testament. That's the New Testament. It can be trusted. It's God's infallible Word. It's not a fable. It's not the figment of imagination of a few people who saw something, who were, as it were, hallucinating. No, it's God's truth. It's God's truth forever. And the Holy Spirit spoke to them and moved them along when they were writing that to us. And it's true today and forever. What the prophets and the Bible writers spoke about the Savior Jesus Christ, I have seen with my eyes, but you know what? This word is more sure. I've even heard that voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. God's pleasure is on the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved. This is the Son of His love. This is the most precious and favored Savior. And you remember what it says? When He was baptized, listen to Him, obey Him, trust Him. And so it's as if it's saying to us tonight, read your Old Testament. And by the blessing of God's Spirit and illuminating grace, you will find Jesus Christ over and over again. You read and God's glory cannot be hid. Christ's truth must conquer your heart. God's Word is trustworthy. It is more trustworthy. It doesn't change. It's more trustworthy, the Lord Jesus tells in one of the parables, more trustworthy than someone who comes from the dead and says, you know, I've seen what's happened there. I'm risen again. It's more trustworthy, beloved, than a lightning flash from heaven into our hearts. And God says to some of us, I hope it's not true, who allow our Bibles to gather dust, pick up and read. And do it like Moses did. Lord, show me thy glory. Or pray, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Peter says in our text, wherefore, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. This is the word. That more sure word. If you listen to it, you will be blessed. If you don't listen to it, if you ignore it, if you think that Bible reading perhaps is boring, if you think that something must really jump out on you, if you think that something miraculous must happen, I say that's absolutely true. Something miraculous must happen. But it is through the Word and through the Spirit as it comes to you and says to you and me, do you want to be changed? Do you want to be saved? Then take heed to the Word. Every jot, every tittle of it. That's the question for tonight. Are you taking heed to the Word? If you perhaps say, well, the Lord must know it. Has nothing happened in my life? My question is, for some of you, are you taking heed to the Word? And how are we taking heed to the Word? Have we simply been reading, perhaps, without expectation, without that prayer of Moses, Lord, show me thy glory? Or have we been thinking, well, a verse a day keeps hell away? Have we just been thinking, well, if I glance over a few verses, I skim read them, just as I do with the rest of my internet reading information that we have on the screen, we scroll down and we say, yeah, I know it now. That's what we shouldn't do with the Word. We shouldn't do that with the Word. The Lord says to us, you and I need to learn to take heed to the Word. What is that? That is to put our minds to it. To focus. Pay careful attention. And yes, sometimes less is more. Sometimes we need to focus on less so that we can remember it better. A few verses can indeed be a great blessing, more than a whole lot at times. Because focus, that's what it says. Take heed to the Word. Put your minds to it. Speak it, think it, memorize it, pray it, love it, live it, sing it, share it. When we listen to God's Word, we desire to listen to with everything in us. When we study the Word, we do so to know the truth, because what does the Lord Jesus say? The truth will set you free. We do so to be good Bereans. What did the Bereans do? Do you remember? They compared the Scriptures. They listened to Paul and they said, well, is this according to the Scriptures? Are we doing that? That's good. We share the Scriptures to build one another up. And especially as we now are going to into a new season again of Bible studies, local Bible studies, women Bible studies, catechism seasons, and all those things. We share. We share the Scriptures because we want to build one another up. And lead one another and point one another to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this verse urges us to put our minds to the Scriptures. Because we look around and that's the only source of certainty in these dark and confusing times in which we live. That's the only source of stability that we have when we see foundations crumble, institutions crumble. We have the Word, a more sure Word, Peter says. And it can make us wise unto salvation. It will reveal Jesus Christ to us. And from the Scriptures shines a special type of glory. A peculiar glory, you could say, into our hearts and lives. And that brings us to the second thought here, shining glory. Let's read again together in our text. Whereunto ye do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Peter here is speaking about a lamp that shines in a dark place. That's what he compares the Word to. Maybe we don't know, but Peter was writing from a dark place when he was writing this epistle. He was in prison. Now, there's prisons who are not like our prisons. You didn't get food most of the time. You were locked there the whole day, often underground in the dark. And from that dark place, beloved, Peter had something shining in his heart. It's the light of God's Word, the written Word, the Word that he had hidden in his heart. The light of God's Word. For some of us, it will be like a sudden change, when we switch on the light, a moment that we see the light. For others, it's more gradual. That's what this Word says. Let us read our text again. The Word is as a shining light shining in a dark place until the day dawn. How does that work, children? The day dawns. Often takes a few hours, right? And as you see the colors turn in the east, it's dark and gray, and it becomes probably something bluish, reddish, orange, yellow. The sun comes up and begins to shine. So it's often also through the Word. It takes time before it sprouts, as it were. It can be hidden for a long time. The work of the Lord can be hidden in our hearts for a long time. Until it dawns. Shouldn't be giving up. More and more we know the power of the Word. More and more we seek to know the Lord Jesus Christ through it, when it's sprouting into our lives. Now, how do we see the Word of God? By way of illustration, I've three pictures for us to think about, to remember. Children, I think you all will remember these three. When your parents ask, what did Pastor preach about tonight? What were the pictures again? I think you can remember, right? A searchlight, a spotlight, and a lantern. That's what the Word is. A searchlight. That's what we experienced maybe a little bit this morning. When it shows us who we are, our wicked nature, the cesspool of iniquity, our tongues, our eyes, our feet, as we heard this morning. By the power of the Spirit, it shines and uncovers our sin. And then we see it. We see it. And when God's grace comes alongside, when the Holy Spirit comes alongside, it exposes who we are. It makes us quiet. Makes us humble. That's the glory of the Word, beloved, that does it. Now, when the Spirit then regenerates us, then that still means that searchlight now and then needs to shine in areas that have not been exposed yet. There's still sin in your and my life, in ignorance. It's a searchlight. What does a searchlight do? It's in the dark. It's like a beam. Shines into our heart. Children, you can remember that, right? Searchlight. It shines. Exposes our self-love. It exposes our sins. He uses His Word. Shining glory. Let us welcome that. Let us welcome that. And so, it's like a searchlight. Children, I read once, maybe you have read it too, in the Pilgrim's Progress, that searchlight shows us our need for the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. It brings us to the spotlight. But here's something that we can think about for a moment. Maybe you know there's two volumes of Pilgrim's Progress. The second volume, Christiana and a lot of other people are a company. They come to the House of the Interpreter. What is the House of the Interpreter? It stands for the work of the Holy Spirit. And they see all kinds of beautiful things in the House of the Interpreter. And there's Mercy. Mercy has come along. And then she sees something beautiful at the wall there. What is it? It's a beautiful mirror. And you know what? When she desires to have that mirror. And on the one side of the mirror, when you look into it, you see yourself. You see yourself. That's the searchlight we're talking about. But then she says she wants to have it especially also because when she turns that mirror, you have sometimes those mirrors, right? You can hold it in your hand. You have two sides to it. When you turn that mirror, it says, then you see the beautiful face of the glorious Savior in it. And that, beloved, is the spotlight. And that's why Mercy wants to have it, that mirror. And she got it. She got it. Beautiful picture, right, of the Word of God, what it does. So spotlight. A spotlight. What does the spotlight do when someone is on a stage? There's the spotlight. It shines brightly. And that's what the Word does too. Who does it put in the spotlight? It puts Jesus Christ in the spotlight. The Holy Spirit shines upon Jesus in the Scriptures. And that's what Peter speaks about in verse 16. When he says he's preaching, he wants to do two things. We make known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, I want to shine the spotlight on Jesus Christ. And what about Jesus Christ? His power. The power of what? Of his sacrifice on the cross. The power of his blood. The precious blood that flows. That makes us clean and white. That rejoices our hearts. That brings forgiveness. This shining light upon his obedience. His perfect obedience. So that he can stand in our place. The power of Jesus Christ who has promised, I will build my church. The gates of hell are not going to prevail. The power of his glory. The power of his beauty. Of which Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. And what does it do? It gives the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Now, how do we see that glory of God? We see it as Mercy wanted to see it, in the face of a gracious and merciful Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. Have we met him? Have we met him in the preaching of the Word? Have we met him when he speaks to us through the Word, when we, in the morning or in the evening or whenever we open the Word ourselves, or even at the table, have we met him? Suddenly we see him, Jesus Christ, whom our soul loves. And do we come away like those the ones who were going to Emmaus, when Jesus, as it were speaking to them on the way, when he speaks through us, to us, through the Word. And we come away with burning hearts and burning desires. What draws us? Love and grace. And we know we are in his presence when we read the Word. The power of the Word. That's what Peter wanted to speak about. We've made known unto you the power and the coming. What coming? The coming, that first coming when he came as a humble servant, obedient to death. The Word is made flesh and dwelt among us. And what do we see? We beheld his glory, John tells us, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That first coming, he came, pitched his tent among us. Peter said, I want to pitch my tent on that tent in on that holy mountain, but John tells us, you know what? Jesus came and pitched his tent among us. He tabernacled among us. That's what it says when he dwelt among us. That's what it means there. He came and dwelt among us. He wanted to be close to his people. And what did we see? The glory of Jesus Christ, full of grace, full of truth. Grace and truth always go together in the Word. Grace we need, otherwise we are lost. Truth we need, otherwise we will go on in our sins. You see him in the Word. The spotlight shines upon Jesus Christ. And it says, as John the Baptist said about him, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He suffered. The spotlight upon Jesus. As he came that first time, as he put off the clothes of glory and put on our clothes of humanity, of weakness, made like sinful flesh, a glorious visitor to this world, Jesus Christ, who says to us tonight, I am the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. And he who listens to me will not walk in darkness. God himself, dressed in the clothes of our human flesh. Spotlight shines upon him. And as we taste, beloved, of the searchlight, and as we see Christ in the beautiful spotlight of the Word, as it points to him, it's Jesus that we need. And we also want, Lord, take me by the hand. We want a lantern, children. We want a lantern. We want this Word to speak into all kinds of areas of our lives. We want this Word to take away the darkness from our soul and the darkness from our lives. Now, we have sometimes power outings, right, children? Now, we have an underground basement in our home. There's only a few windows. And as we have an underground basement, when there's an outing, what do? We have a lantern. Why do we have a lantern? We take that lantern because when we go downstairs and it's dark, you come from the light, you can't see anything there. And you can easily bump into something. That's why we use the lantern. When we go out tonight again and this week into the world, we need a lantern. We need a lantern because we can bump into something. The world is a dark place. And when we look around us, we see darkness is coming upon our culture. It's surrounding us more and more. And the Lord says, my Word is a light upon your path. It's like a lamp. It's like a lantern. And a lantern, it doesn't light all the way often, but it lights around you. It gives instruction for the things that you have to deal with, so that we can avoid danger, so that we can avoid sin. And so the Word guides us. So the Word lightens our path. And our text shows that as such, in these different ways, this Word shines into our hearts until the day dawns. Until the day dawns. The day star arises in our hearts. Until it directs us all the way to that greatest of all lights, that supreme glory through the Word. It takes us by the hand. It guides us. It guides our feet. So the Word is more sure. More sure than the transfiguration, the glory that Peter saw on the mountain. It can be fully trusted. It's used by the Lord as a searchlight, children. Remember? Searchlight, spotlight, lantern, right? It focuses in our lives. And one day, this word, or more sure word of prophecy, we will hear why it's called the more sure word of prophecy in a moment, will culminate, will end in the glory of the brightest day of history. The coming of Jesus Christ. Peter is writing about this epistle in this epistle about that day. You read it and you see that. He talks about that day when the clouds will be rolled back as a scroll, and finally the full day will come. That's also what our text means when it's talking about the day dawns and the day star arise in your hearts. Day star, what's that? What's that? A day star? Well, the day star, we have a day star every day. It comes out in the morning. It's the first star that very clearly appears in the morning, just before the dawn is there, before the day comes. And commentators tell me that it is Venus. Star Venus. It rises and it's bright, and then the day is about to dawn. And that's what Peter talks about as well. It arises in our heart, yes, when the Word shines. But it also arises one day in full glory. Why am I saying that? Because it says here, it speaks about the day star, and it has to do with the word of prophecy. We need to listen to the prophets for a moment. They spoke about him. They spoke about Jesus. Special star. Do you remember, children? There he stood on that mountain. And he was called to curse God's people. What was his name again? It was Balaam. He was a sinner. He was unchanged by God's power. Peter, later on in chapter 2, he talks about Balaam as well. But he was prophesying the truth, Balaam. Numbers 24 verse 17 tells us about that. He was talking about Jesus Christ. What did he say about Jesus Christ? Do we remember? I shall see him, but not now. Yes, Balaam, you will see him one day. Not now, not yet. I will behold him, but not nigh. No, Balaam, you won't see him very nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and shall destroy the children of Seth. What is he saying? He saw then already coming of Christ one time, coming of Christ second time. He knew that Christ would be holding a scepter, rule this world in glory, and that he would rule in the hearts of his people, that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what he prophesies about. And he prophesies about that final day when all the enemies of God will be destroyed. Balaam, God's prophetic word is very certain. That's what he shows. Let's listen to another voice, another prophet, Malachi. He talks about a different kind of light, not so much a star, and yet light. But unto you that fear my name, Malachi 4:2, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. There will be a day when Jesus Christ comes with healing in his wings. The rays of the sun, as it were, will shine with healing in wings. He will heal his people. Those who fear him. We heard this morning what it is, right? The fear of the Lord. Oh! I hear another prophet. Prophetic word. This time in the New Testament, old Zechariah. He says about Jesus, through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Talking about that first coming. That the rising of a great light of those who sit in darkness, that's Jesus, has come to visit us. And he, what will he do? He will guide in the way of peace, in the ways of peace. I hear another prophet, driven by the Holy Spirit, moved by the Holy Spirit. It's the Apostle John. He speaks, as it were, the voice of Christ as he writes, I, Jesus, sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and this, and the bright and morning star. Do you hear it? Jesus is that bright and morning star. He will rise in the hearts of his people. His light will one day fill this whole world. Not just that mountain upon which Peter saw the glory. No, it will fill the whole world. And those who trust in him will not walk in darkness. They will see the light of life. And one day this whole earth will be filled with supreme glory, with supreme light when he comes back on the clouds of heaven. It will be a solemn day. It will be a sacred day. It will be a gloriously bright day. His glory is more glorious than that day of transfiguration. Then it was only the holy mountain. But then it will fill the whole earth. It's a day God's people look forward to. Why? Because we have that certain prophetic words that has promises for us. Promises. Precious promises. That when we will one day see him, that light fills our hearts. Now we still see in the Word, the Bible tells us, as a glass darkly, as a mirror. We look in the mirror. But then, we will see him face to face. We will see him in greater glory. The one whom our souls love. Greater glory than the transfiguration. The greatest glory. That light that already shines in our heart now. When he comes, he will represent his Father, of whom it is written, who is that blessed and only potentate, the kings of kings. That means also potentate means majestic ruler and Lord of lords, who hath immortality. He never dies. And then it says this, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. Do you see that? God dwells in a greater light than that transfiguration, than the glory of the Word. And that greater light will one day shine. No man has seen it yet, nor can see it. And then there will be honor and power and glory everlasting unto the Lord. That day, God will be seen in Jesus Christ, and there will be no darkness in him at all. No sin. whatsoever. He's pure. And therefore, the apostle of love looks forward to that. John says, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God when we have tasted or when that light has shone into our hearts. Now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We shall see Him as He is, face to face." Are you longing for that, dear believer? We can't even begin to imagine what that will be. When that full glory will break upon our souls. Even the Bible cannot explain it very well. It says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." And then, beloved, who know the Lord Jesus Christ by true faith, then we will be forever with the Lord in glory. And we will be glorified with Him. Let us comfort one another with these words, because that will be a glorious day. But I tremble to think how scary that day will be for those among us who have not been taking heed to the Word of God. When you have known the Word, and the exposing light has come to you over and over, and you have been ignoring it, denying it, my unbelieving friend, you will know that true glory also. Its supreme glory. You will know by that day how sure God's promises were. That they were yes and amen in Jesus Christ. You will know it. But it is terrible if you see that supreme glory, Jesus Christ, for the first time. And it will be too late. And therefore I plead with you in love. Oh, flee to Jesus Christ now. And come to the Word now. Search the Word now. Take heed to the Word. Rather than having this prospect of judgment hanging over your head, and looking with fear toward that day, was because through the Word it can be taken away, that fear. Fiery anger, that's that light, that glory that will shine upon those who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, who will, that light, beloved, that light is so bright that it will take vengeance, it will come with a flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God. The Bible tells us. And so, dear unbelieving friend, I pray that you would see the glory of God's exposing searchlight right now and not hide away from it. And the spotlight of salvation on Jesus Christ before you, see shining justice, robes of justice, glorious justice, purity. That you would see the beauty of God's Word as a lantern. To avoid sin, to avoid evil, to stumble, not stumble, before it's too late. You will be punished, as the Word says, with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of His power. so that everlasting destruction comes from the presence of the Lord. From the glory of His power. It comes from Him. From His glory. His glory means destruction. That day, for all those who are not found in Jesus Christ, if one of the holiest saints, as we heard this morning, fell dead at the feet of Christ at Patmos, John, I say to you in love, what will become of you? On that day of glory, supreme glory, what will become of you? Second Thessalonians tells us something. It tells us what will happen to the wicked Antichrist. The Lord will come and consume him with the spirit of his mouth. What is that? His word. With his word will he consume. And he will destroy him with the brightness of his coming. With his glory. His glory will be destruction. That will be true of all who do not obey the word of Jesus Christ tonight. We turn away. Go back. As Peter says in the next chapter, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. I go back. I continue sinning. I continue in my unbelief. So I plead with you that you don't let your Bible be untouched. John Rogers was a Puritan preacher. He warned his congregation one day. He told about him this story. He told the people that he was preaching to, in the voice of the Lord, as it were, he said, God might say, I have trusted you so long with my Bible. It lies in some of your houses, all covered with dust and cobwebs. You care not to listen to it. Do you use my Bible so? And then he said, well, then you will have it no longer. And Rogers literally picked up the Bible that was on the pulpit and started walking out the door. But then halfway he stopped. He fell on his knees and he impersonated the voice of the people who pleaded, Lord, whatever thou dost to us, take not the Bible from us, kill our children, burn our houses, destroy our goods, only spare us thy Bible, take not away thy Bible. And then he spoke in the voice of God. Do you really say so? Well, I will try you a little longer. And here's my Bible for you. I will see how you use it, whether you will search it more, love it more, observe it more, and live more according to it. That's what he did. And Thomas Goodwin, one of the other Puritans, when he was so touched by that, he stood outside on his weeping with his neck on his horse for 15 minutes before he felt strong enough to mount it. And I plead with you on the basis of this little story that we can vividly remember. Do not leave your Bibles untouched. There's glory there. Exposing glory, revealing glory, guiding glory. And it will bring us one day to supreme glory. And the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, which is so certain, will shine all around us. We will see it. That's what the Word said. We will recognize it. And we will be in that supreme glory. The glory of God's beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Will you be there? Then pick up your Bible and say, Lord, show me that glory. Show me Jesus Christ. Amen.